From the world of AV programming and control with James King, I'm Steve Greenblatt, and this is Ask the Programmer. Hey, James, how are you today? It's good to be back, and we have another exciting episode on tap.
I'm doing good, Steve. I'm looking forward to this episode. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well. If you didn't tune in to the last episode, we had Aaron Marmoran from Johns Hopkins University, also host of the EdTech podcast on EV Nation, and the incoming chair of HEPMA join us, and she's back for another one. So welcome back, Erin.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, guys.
Thanks for being here. If you didn't tune in, please tune in to episode 156. We also marked 3 years of building content for Ask the Programmer. So it was we're glad to have Erin, who is our first guest, on to celebrate with us. And we wanted to continue some of the conversation that we had in the last episode. And I'll kind of kick it off. We talked in the last episode about putting yourself out there, getting involved. And I think it was really neat to hear that Erin said that we were one of her first podcasts that she was guests on. And now she's hosting a podcast. So tell me about that, because that is very encouraging and is a real great success story.
Oh, absolutely. It has been quite the journey. And it's interesting to go back, and I try not to listen to or watch some of the things that I've recorded in the past. But on occasion, I'll go back and just to see how far I've come. And I know that I have a very particular way of speaking in putting pauses in strange places. And so that's one of the things I've been, you know, trying to work on to get better at. But after being, a guest on this program, it was trying to get a little more, more exposure. And then, was on a webinar or two. And so I started getting a little more recognized in the AV space. And so I initially was approached about doing a podcast for higher ed AV media. But it was kind of at the time doing grad school and work and HETMA, it was just a lot. And especially, trying to figure out a recording schedule and things like that. I'm like, all right, right now I don't really have the time to put that on my plate because I would be doing all of the things. And so right about that time, I was then approached by Tim Albright, who was like, hey, we're trying to, reboot EdTech. Would you be interested in hosting? And I was like, okay. So how much involvement would I have to, how much planning and things do I have? And he's like, it's a once a month show. We would curate the articles for you with your input. And we have the panel that, we've had for a little while. And so it was like, basically show up and do you. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. So, so I basically was like, all right, it's not really like my podcast, but it definitely, I'd like to think that I've put my little stamp on it with introducing new guests that are kind of like different voices we don't normally hear, and stuff like that. So it's been really nice. And I felt like it was something that I had earned, where not that having a podcast on higher ed AV media wouldn't have been, but it was kind of like, it felt like having the invitation from AV Nation and from Tim, it just meant a little bit more, because I felt like that I did myself, as opposed to kind of it just like being handed to me. You know what I mean? I know that sounds weird.
All I know is I'm going to have a chat with Tim and renegotiate my contract, because I do a lot more. So And I'm referring to A State of Control. That's the Aviation podcast that I host over there. And I'm speaking in jest because I enjoy doing it. But
Sorry, I spilled the beans.
one thing that I'll say that right from the beginning, and I'm sure I've listened to every one of your episodes, you came up with your own way of saying AV friends, and I always thought that that was cool. So it's you really kind of jumped in right, putting your signature on from the beginning.
I'm glad you noticed that. I wasn't sure if anybody actually noticed it, because now I've been doing, like, when I was moderated a conversation on for Rave's launch week this week, and so I opened the session, "Hello, AV friends."
It's very cool. Yeah, no, it's re and it's very fitting too. James, I know that you've also had your share of guests hosting all sorts of stuff too. Is your experience similar?
No, not quite, but I will say is I Aaron is 100% well deserving. I mean, what's he said of it was gifted or what's the words you actually use where you earn that one? 100% agree, Aaron, as a host at Tech. And nothing is Bill O'Donnell. He did good, but you're doing awesome too. Like the show hasn't really missed a beat with you taking over, and you put your own spin on it. As Steve said, they're the AB friends. How you bring the diverse voices in is great. I love hearing from all different sized schools too. Like that was awesome to hear about. So I'll admit, I kind of went more the higher ed media world where I built it up to help out that media group that's coming along. Now I don't do a podcast on there. I am a crew member on the AV Life, which I'll admit that kind of came out of the blue, but that came from Tim Van Warp. Tim does a great job hosting that. I just think he wanted an extra East Coast person on there, and then I up and left and went to the West Coast, and he keeps me around for some reason. But no, what Aaron's doing is great work out there, and can't be prouder of her and seeing that and hearing that our podcast was the first one. I will take that. I'm going to take that flag. We were the first one, Joe. Take that. It's great to see what she's doing because I'm actually shocked that we were the first one because I already assumed that she was well out there and we were late to the game of getting her on, but I'm glad we were the first.
Absolutely. You guys were like, I couldn't have said yes fast enough when you asked me to be on. I was like, yeah. Absolutely. And it's, you guys have done such a, like, a great job with this program, and really kind of touching on a lot of different aspects of the AV programming world. It's really good. Great work.
Appreciate that. We stay at it, and we appreciate that feedback because we don't get enough of it.
Right.
The thing that I'll say for both of you guys, and as we talked about in the last episode, when you put yourself out there and you start doing one, it turns into two, it turns into four or eight, and I've heard you guys on several podcasts, especially ones through the higher ed media, and I've gotten to know you guys even more through those podcasts. So it's such a great tool. And I highly encourage people who are willing to talk about their journey and share their experiences to do that because it makes you so much more approachable. And people, when you actually meet them in person, they already know you because they've heard you and I'm sure I know things about both of you guys that we've never had conversations about because of the podcasts.
Right. That, I mean, that's kind of a funny thing about, like, podcasts and even social media, I suppose, in general, that there are things that you put out there that you don't maybe necessarily realize that people are listening and picking up on. And then you meet them in person for once and you're like, I know you. We're like best buddies. And it's like, wait a minute, we've never actually met before. But if you feel that familiarity because there's just, you learn so much about people and certain, depending on how much they're willing to kind of put out their, and it's fun though. It's nice to see.
Absolutely.
I still say I find it odd and weird when people I haven't met in person come up to me and be like, "Hey, I'm a fan of Ask the Programmer." I'm like, "Wait, what? People actually listen?" Which is good. I'm glad people are listening. I love our listeners. But I mean, I had that twice at Infocom, once with Mike Carici. He's been on a couple times here. And then Richard Miller from Buyamp. Like, same. We were just at the Buyamp booth, and he's like, just nudge me. He's like, "Hey, just to let you know, I'm a fan of Ask the Programmer." I've never met Richard before until that moment. I was like, okay.
It's very, very rewarding. So I encourage people to put themselves out and say hi when those situations come about. And it's probably that's probably a good transition to the topic that we the other side of the topic that I was hoping that we were going to cover is how do we get more people involved? How do we and what is the responsibility of those who have seen the light and had these experiences? Because we all most people have to get out of their comfort zone to get into these situations, whether it's accept your first opportunity to speak or to be on a podcast or to be a panelist, whatever it might be. It's scary and it continues to be throughout your whole career. But I think it what I've found and I do this with my team internally is that everybody needs to be given a nudge and they kind of they either need somebody to help them through that first door, as Aaron said in the last episode, or they need somebody to be their advocate to say, "Hey, this is a good person. Bring them on a podcast. Bring the include them in a panel." So, Aaron, maybe you could speak a little bit about that, and either something that has worked for you or that you've done for others.
Yeah, I think that finding a mentor can really help a lot because they may not necessarily be doing all of the things either, but it's at least somebody who's kind of who you know. Hopefully, if you've selected someone who is in a similar sort of mind space as you, but has been around just that little bit much longer so that they can kind of help guide you a little bit and sort of start trying to get you a little bit out of your comfort zone so that you can open yourself up more for the opportunities. Because yeah, it can be hard for someone, maybe if you don't necessarily know that someone's open to it. You can, like for us as hosts, like you don't really want to like blindly go into a situation and be like, "Hey, come here, do this podcast." So it's kind of like there has to be a little bit of a meeting in the middle, kind of like making yourself slightly available, but then also getting a little like, "Oh, hey, nudge, nudge, get out there." And then the kind of pulling them out a little bit, saying, here's an opportunity. Go do it. Let's have a a continue the to have a like growth mindset and get out of the kind of where we're at and just grow and do."
It's all great advice. I can't really add any more than that. But I heard this from another person who I will say came out of HEPMA and is doing amazing things on her own. I heard this from Britt when she was talking with Ryan on his podcast of closed mouths don't get fed.
That was such a great episode
It's a great episode.
and
Britt is
great
doing
quote.
amazing things. So I'm actually going to take this question in two sides. For those who are trying to get out there, like Britt says, closed mouths don't get fed. You have to get out there. You have to speak up. If you want something, let them know. Let people know you want it, and someone will help you get there to achieve that. So open your mouth, speak up for what you want. And now the other side I'm going to say is I'm going to attack the old guards here. Sepasat. Let the new voices come. That's one thing that's awesome about what BC and Joe both did is they got the HETMA going, and then once it got legs, they're stepping aside. BC handing the reins over to Aaron, who's been doing great as a vice chair, and now Joe's stepping aside, and Aaron's moving up. Ryan's bringing in. So again, do your time, and then step aside and let some new voices come in. So like, my 3 year at large is coming up in the term for HETMA. I'm not running again for another board seat. It's time for another member to speak up. And I'll support anybody who wants to run for a position, and because we need those new voices, we need those diverse points of views. And as we said last episode, the perceptive. Everyone has different perceptive, and we need that brought out.
I think that it also requires being not being selfish, if you will, and you know, you have, sometimes you have to give somebody else the or ha open that door for somebody else rather than you stepping through it, even though you could do it. You let somebody else do it, and you sit back and watch them and support them and cheer them on. And I think that that could might be hard for some people, but I think that it's critical. And like you said, James, it's you have to move on to the next thing, or you have to just realize that it's just as important to give them to pass the reins on than it is to be involved.
There's ways to do it. Like I was listening to a leadership podcast, and the guest they had on was talking about how at one of says Amazon, I can't. It was a tech giant, but I'm pretty sure it was Amazon. Every meeting they have, the lowest person in the meeting speaks first. And then they go around and go from there, but it's always the lowest person in the room speaks first.
That's very interesting. I was going to say that this conversation really applies very well to management as well, and I know that we all have experience with that, but it's a tricky part of what we do, and it's and I think, you know, speaking to our audience that I know that not every programmer is cut out to be in management, but these are some of the things that from that perspective, you're challenged with is that you have to be able to understand how to work with different people and identify their strengths and weaknesses, but also lift them up when needed. And sometimes you have to also give them direct feedback when needed as well. So it's but this is, I don't know, to me it reminds me of management. I think that's a good place for us to wrap this one. That this has been a great conversation, and again, we thank Aaron Marmoran from Johns Hopkins University for being with us. As I said, she's the host of EdTech on Aviation, and she's also the incoming chair of HETMA. Aaron, how can people get in touch with you, learn what you're up to, continue the conversation, and also have you as a guest on their podcast?
Yes. So you can always find me on LinkedIn or on the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, at Smearin underscore off underscore ice. I'm also on the HETMA community. But yeah, if you are a voice that needs to be heard, by all means reach out to me and I will try to get you on an episode of EdTech. And especially if that's more your style of, you know, that it since it's a show that's about reading some stories and giving your thoughts essentially and how that relates to higher ed. So if that format really appeals to you, please let me know. I'd love to have you on.
Excellent. And it's as comfortable as it sounds on the air. So go for it. James, how could people get in touch with you, learn more what you're up to, and keep the conversation going?
You want to reach out to me? You can find me on Twitter at AB underscore James King. I'm on LinkedIn. Not too active on there, but I'm out there. Again, if you Google me, you'll find me.
Excellent. And for me, you can reach me at Steve Greenblatt on social media. You can reach my company, Control Concepts, at controlconcepts.net. And what James and I want, most importantly, for you to share your favorite episode, let us know what you think, help us to build more community and more conversation, and also identify the topics and the guests that we want to have on the show. So it requires you reaching out. So that's your call to action here. And I think that's what we've been talking about in the last two episodes. So please take a chance, and we're going to be supportive, and we hope to get some new voices and help people experience what it's like to be on a podcast. So reach out to us and let us know. You could follow this show on the platform formerly known as Twitter at AV Programmer Pod. You could catch us on YouTube and your favorite podcast player. And until next time, this has been Ask the Programmer.